Well, this morning we're continuing on with the Lord's Prayer, and my dad was planning on being here, but I got a call this morning that he got pretty sick last night. I was not planning on being here this morning, so this message will be shorter than usual. For some of you, I'm sorry, you'll feel like you have not gotten your money's worth, and others of you will be deeply, deeply pleased. But we have the opportunity to learn how to pray by leaning in and seeing how Jesus himself prayed. Jesus really is the greatest of all time. No one had a clearer view of the Father than he did. No one had a closer relationship with God than he does. And so he speaks with great authority. The Lord's Prayer is not meant to be recited back to God, but rather there are principles in this prayer. We take those principles, put them in our own words, apply them to our own relationship with God. So we're going to look again at Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This is Jesus praying. He says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And we're just going to focus in on that last part, this doxology. "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, if you were reading in your paper Bible this morning, perhaps that phrase is not there, and it depends on the manuscripts that are being used. But Jesus starts off by saying, "Yours is the kingdom." There is absolutely no question of ownership here. The kingdom is not up for grabs or for discussion. The kingdom belongs to God. "For thine is the kingdom." The word here that's originally used in Greek is the word basileia, which means kingdom rule. It denotes that there is power and there is authority. And it is also derived from the root word basileus, which means king. Friends, there is only one king. There's only one kingdom who rules over all. And I want you to notice that word kingdom. It is not plural. It is singular. In other words, Jesus makes it clear there's only one kingdom. There are not multiple kingdoms. And so every inch of this planet belongs to our God. The psalmist David, he wrote in Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." And so this is a newsflash for the monarchs of the world. The kingdom they presume to govern belongs to God. Whether that is England, Denmark, Sweden, Spain, Monaco, Jordan, they all belong to God. Further news is that every elected official serves under the government of God. Whether that is in Germany, Japan, South Africa, the United States, Russia, all kingdoms belong to our God. Satan, he only imitates kingship, whereas God is the one true king. Now, it's at this point in the sermon notes that my dad has inserted a story about me in Denmark. So when I believe I was 8 years old, we took a family trip to Denmark. And, you know, when you go to Europe, what you do is you go through castles, you go through palaces. And so we did that in Denmark. And I saw a really cool chair in a very ornate room. And I thought, that looks like a lot of fun to sit in. And so I just went underneath the partition, underneath the rope, and sat in this big, comfortable chair. It was a lot of fun for the few moments that it lasted. Then sirens started. Police started to rush towards the chair because that chair wasn't just any chair. It was the throne of Denmark. How cool for me, an 8-year-old, to knock that off my bucket list. I have sat on the throne of Denmark. And it just occurred to me, maybe next time I go to O&H Bakery, I need to like pull that out, like King of Denmark. Can I have some Kringle? Have you ever done that? Have you ever sat in a place, possessed a chair that was not yours? You know, it's been a few years since I've been to a Brewers game. because I don't find baseball or sports at all interesting. But what I do like at these games is watching the people who kind of take the seats that don't belong to them. Have you ever noticed this? So you're sitting in the nosebleeds, there are open seats, and it usually happens around the third inning. They think, okay, they're not gonna show, so people just kind of slyly walk down towards the front and just slide into that row and sit down. And then you just wait for it. You wait for that usher to walk down the aisle, and they ask, may I see your ticket? And they always pretend like, where did I put those? Honey, where are the tickets? There are no tickets. And then they have to take that walk of shame back up the steps in front of everyone. I love that. Now, some of you are thinking, boy, he's a terrible pastor. Have you ever been there? I've been that one. I've had to take the walk of shame. What Jesus is teaching here is this is not a seat that's going to be possessed by anyone else. And he's also teaching there's a big difference between being an entrusted king and being the God who owns the kingdom. And so Jesus says, not only are you the king, he says, yours is the kingdom. You own it all. It all belongs to you. It's your property. No one will eject him. The earth is the Lord's, the sky, the planets, the galaxies, they all belong to God. He alone is the rightful reigning king over his kingdom, for thine is the kingdom. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to death, even death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in earth and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus begins this prayer saying, yours is the kingdom. Jesus is looking for people that understand that. God is not looking for people to build their own kingdoms, but to recognize everything that is done is for your kingdom. Jesus goes on, he says, yours is the power. And that word in the Greek is dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite. This is miraculous power. This is abundant might and strength. We can pray with confidence, for our Father rules the kingdom, and he possesses all power. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we see this is a God who is able to, with just his words, bring something out of nothing. He speaks creation into existence ex nihilo. In Exodus, we see his power to deliver from the grip of the enemy. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Jesus has miracle power. He has the power to save, to heal, and to deliver. In Psalm 62:11, it says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs unto God. Matthew 24:30, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Matthew 28:18, then Jesus came close to them and said, all authority of the universe has been given to me. Revelation 5:13, then every living being joined the angelic choir, every creature in heaven and on earth, under the earth, in the sea, and everything in them, saying, we're worshiping with one voice, praise, honor, glory, and dominion be to God enthroned, and to Christ the Lamb forever and ever. A.W. Tozer said, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things we can do by ourselves. God wants us to have big dreams, plans that are birthed by him. Charles Spurgeon said, "Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without the wind, branches without sap, like coals without fire. We are useless." The good news today, power is available for our lives, and it lies with our Heavenly Father. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and lastly, thine is the glory. The Greek word here is the word doxa. Isaiah 42:8 says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." God has made it very clear all throughout Scripture and in the present, He will not share His glory with anyone. He will not share His glory with angels. He will not share His glory with men, women, no matter how talented they are, how anointed they are. God will not share His glory with a denomination. He will not share His glory with a church. God alone is worthy of all the praise. And so this is the ending of the Lord's Prayer. It declares, "Thine is the glory." He deserves all the glory because the whole kingdom is His. Everything you look at, all the power is His. And He says, "Forever." The glory will belong to Him without end. Throughout history, there have been those who have sought their own glory. They have sought their moment out in the sun, and they have received it, and their name has been known and famous, and they have received the praise and adoration of men. Whether it's Alexander the Great or Napoleon or Babe Ruth or Pete Rose, Muhammad Ali, John Lennon. Now, those of you who may be more seasoned in years, maybe you remember this moment. It was on March 4th, 1966. John Lennon gave this now infamous quote. It was printed in the London Evening Standard. He said, "Christianity will go. It will vanish and shrink. I needn't argue with that. I'm right, and I will be proved right. We are more popular than Jesus now. I don't know which will go first, rock and roll or Christianity." We know it was not that much longer, 1980, where John Lennon, he was killed outside of his apartment in New York. You see, at best, men live for a short time. Their fame and glory is just for a season. Now, you might be a pretty big deal this morning. You might be a big cheese. But I tell you what, in 100 years, nobody's quoting you, okay? And here we are, the words of Jesus, more famous, more quoted now than ever. The Lord God, His glory, His fame will be known and worshiped forever. Exodus 15:18, "The Lord shall reign forever and ever." Psalm 146:10, "The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord." And in Revelation 11:15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." One last word, amen. And amen means so be it. You see, this is how Jesus saw things. This is how He saw His Father. He said, everything belongs to Him. The kingdom, the power, the glory. And then it becomes your and I role. Are we going to embrace this? Are we going to say, yes, that is true? Or are we going to deny it? And we say, amen. And my dad will pick up on that point next week. And so in conclusion, Jesus, He prays, "Thine is the kingdom. Everything we step upon and everything we see, it all belongs to God." He goes on to say, "Thine is the power." God has unlimited power for us this morning. When we feel weak, when we feel inadequate, we're told His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Don't live life making only plans that you can fulfill with your own power. Hear what God would lead you into. "For thine is the glory." Everything that God has created works like a telescope to focus on the glory of God. You see a beautiful sunrise, sunset, you see a mountain, you see an ocean, you see beautiful trees, the different creatures that God has created. It all works to focus not in and of themselves, but on our wonderful Heavenly Father. His is the glory, it is forever, and you and I affirm that, and we say, Amen. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for all the insights that you have given us, Lord, in this prayer. Lord, we get a peek into the relationship that you had with your Heavenly Father. And Lord, my prayer today is that each of us would know the Heavenly Father the way that you did. Lord, I pray that right now this would be a moment of revelation. God, that hearts would be softened. Lord, that scales would fall off eyes. God, we would see how incredible you are. That we would see how loving you are, how right you are. And Lord Jesus, that we would affirm these truths in our lives today. Lord, we declare that this is your kingdom. It's all yours. It's all under your authority. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, not to get wrapped up, Lord, in our own affairs, in our own dealings, in our own kingdom. But God, remember that there is one kingdom. There is one agenda. And Lord, we choose to be a part of it. Lord, we choose to put it first. Lord, we choose to work alongside of you and build that which is lasting, that which is eternal, Lord, the kingdom of God. Lord, we're thankful that yours is the power. Lord, there is nothing we're up against today that you are not greater than, that you do not have the strength, that you do not have the healing, that you do not have the breakthrough, that you do not have the wisdom to make a way. And so, Lord Jesus, we open our lives to your power. Lord, we were not meant to power through life in and of ourselves. Lord, we lean upon you. We humble ourselves. Lord, we need your power. We need your power, Lord, in this church. We need your power in our families. And Lord, lastly, we declare yours is the glory. Lord, forgive us, Lord, when we've stepped into the spotlight, Lord, when we've turned the attention to ourselves. Lord Jesus, help everything we do point towards you. Lord, when we do things well, God, when we use the gifts and the talents that you have given to us, God, may we point towards you, towards your glory. God, when you bring success our way, God, may we point towards you. God, everything in our lives, God, may we be obsessed with bringing you glory. Lord, we want you to be famous. God, we want you to be known. Lord, we want everyone in Milwaukee to know the name of Jesus. We want everyone in this world to know the name of Jesus and to call upon the name of Jesus. Maybe you have not called upon that name yet. Maybe you don't refer to God as your Heavenly Father. Maybe he seems distant from you today. Your life has a door. And that door only has one handle, and it's on the inside. And Scripture tells us that Jesus, he stands at the door and he knocks. And if you will turn that doorknob and open the door, he will come in. He will come into your life. He will begin to change you. He will wash you clean. He will forgive us of all of our sin, all of our wrongdoing. God himself will come to dwell within us. His Holy Spirit will fill us, and you will be made a new person this day. So if that is you and you want to open your life to God, you simply open the door of your life to him. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I put my trust in you. I follow you. I give you my life. He will come in and he will make everything new. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you do knock at our hearts. We pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.